Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Yeah. Ben, the plantation course is well protected. The wind's breezy today, trades 15 to 20 miles per hour. It's going to be a little cloudy, windward, and isolated showers on the windward side. I think there'll be very isolated showers. I hope some rain comes soon. We've got a great show for you. First of all, Bob Herrig, golf writer for ESPN, is joining us. Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire. Not only is he at Whistling Straits, where we would have been watching the Ryder Cup, but it's not until 2021 now. We're going to find out what's up in Whistling Straits when you go there. Bob Bupka, the voice of golf on Talk Sport. What are they talking on Talk Sport about when they talk about the U.S. Open? And Lily Braswell, Director of Operations at Winged Foot Golf Club, is joining us. Her primary focus is golf outings, events, and none other than, of course, the 120th U.S. Open is as big as it ever could be at Winged Foot since 2006. It hasn't been there. Brian Wacker is there. He's a golf writer for the PGAtour.com, contributor to Golf Digest, and you'll see his work. You can go see, follow him, Brian Wacker 1 on Twitter. For a lot of the updates you'll find there, we'll be talking with Brian after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Aloha Power Equipment. Two great locations, Sand Island and Waipahu, for all of your power equipment, life-saving generators, lawnmowers, weed whackers, and more. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Futura Stone. Turn your home project, your paving project, your warehouse flooring into artwork. Specializing in natural stones like Brazilian quartzite. Aquapite on-site stormwater source control systems. Interlocking concrete pavers and now polished colored concrete floors. Futura Stone. Only the best. And Creative Plumbing. Starting a new project from the ground up, taking on a complete renovation, replacing your high-rise wastewater system, custom home, townhouse, high-rise, warehouse, or shopping center. Call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And now, Danielle Tucker.
All right, we're going to give you some information. Brian's not with us yet. The USGA and Deloitte launched the 2020 U.S. Open Augmented Reality app. It's available in the App Store on Apple and Google Play Store. The U.S. Open AR app offers fans a variety of ways to follow the action at the U.S. Open in augmented reality. Wants to download that one. And I'm really glad, so glad that they changed their minds and didn't force everyone to switch from NBC to Peacock TV at the end of the daily broadcast, the end of the tournaments. NBC switched it up. So you start off with Peacock and then you go through to NBC and you finish. So, you know, the last 2 hours, things get pretty heated and you don't want to have to all of a sudden be like, let me get to Peacock TV on my streaming, whatever it is. I found that I couldn't get into the Peacock TV using my Samsung TV. It doesn't work with them yet. So it's the way you get there on golf and on NBC, and then you go, because they're using Peacock, sign up at peacocktv.com/golf with your email. You create a password. It's really simple. And then you download it onto all of your devices, including your phone and your smart TV, assuming that it's compatible. There's a whole list of compatible equipment that you can use it on. One day, of course, it's going to be charged, I'm sure. But at this point, they are definitely letting you watch for free, thankfully. And I hope in the future, if we have to watch on Peacock TV, that something like the U.S. Open will be broadcast at no charge. It is the United States Golf Association's U.S. Open, United States Open. It's our Open. This year, no qualifiers, though, because of the pandemic. We couldn't have qualifying places. It was just too dangerous. Some people were in lockdown like we were for a long time. So Brian Wacker, writer and editor for PGAtour.com and contributor Golf Digest, is with us now. Welcome into the clubhouse, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Daniel.
Absolutely. So what we've got is an incredible leaderboard with very few under par. Notable amongst them, of course, Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau, just one stroke back. Also seeing, and I was really excited, Rafa Cabrera is there, and a young man, Harris English. A young man, I remember back, I was at the Masters, I think it was in 03, and we were talking about the Jordan Spieths coming up in the world, a little bit about Koepka, I think he was on the European side at that point, and who? I chose Harris English, who had such a hard time, it seems, getting to this place. I was wondering, do you have any insight, what has Harris English done that's brought him to the point where he is at the top of the leaderboard and under par at the amazing golf course, the West Course at Winged Foot Golf Club?
Yeah, well, maybe we should have seen Harris English coming. I mean, I think we a lot of times get caught up, rightfully so, on the big names in the sport. But Harris is a guy who, look, in four previous U.S. Opens has never missed a cut. And he's also a player who hits a ton of greens, and even when he doesn't, he's terrific around the greens. He gets up and down all the time, has a great wedge game. And this is a guy who, on tour during the season last year, ranked in the top 20 in first and second round scoring. Second, in fact, in scoring, in open first round scoring this past season. So this is a guy who, you know, yesterday, which is a prime example, he's 14 greens, makes two birdies, just two bogeys, one point rips off 11 straight pars. I mean, you do that in the U.S. Open, you're going to be climbing up the leaderboard. And this is a guy who, again, has a really good iron game, a really good short game. And those two elements, when they're on, certainly play well at a place like Winged Foot.
Yeah, so Jason Kokrak is one under. Justin Thomas and Harris English, Rafa Cabrera Bale is two under. Bryson DeChambeau is three under. And we've got the leader, Patrick Reed, at four under. The first round and the second round, the first round scoring was like, okay, what have they done? This isn't the beast that we're all expecting. Second round, big change. What caused the change in scoring? What was the difference at Winged Foot?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, the first round, I think you had 21 players break par. On Friday, just three players breaking par. Bryson DeChambeau, one of them, with a 68. In fact, he was the only one in the top 10, I believe, to break par in the second round. So what changed? The course started to firm up. The wind started to pick up. And, you know, look, I think the USGA is very cognizant of not screwing up another U.S. Open. You know, we can go back to just 2 years ago at Shinnecock.
Yes.
Last year at Pebble Beach, they were, you know, the place that really would have been difficult to mess up, given the size of the greens, the small size of the greens and so forth. So I think the USGA was very careful to set this up in that, you know, look, it provided some scoring opportunities the first day. And look, they also had some weather. And by that I mean the weather they got was not, you know, the sun baking out the course. Remember, this is a different time of year than this tournament is typically played. So the conditions are certainly much different in suburban New York this time of year, as we're seeing today, and as we saw yesterday, than they are in June. So I think we've seen cooler temperatures. We've seen firmer greens. Obviously, the rough is up and hasn't been cut. So to me, that's what's changed, is they've sort of let this course start to firm up. They obviously have a sub-air system that they're able to employ as well, so they can get this course firm, fast. The greens were rolling probably about a 12 or so the first day, and obviously rolling a bit faster since, and they'll continue to do that, you know, throughout the course of today and certainly Sunday.
And do you think they'll put water on those greens at some point, maybe tonight?
No, I you know, I don't think so, because you're looking at, this isn't summertime, and anybody who's been to New York, and even if you haven't, just imagine, you know, high temperatures. You know, I just don't see there's enough moisture in the air in the mornings and in the evenings, I think, even though there's obviously cooler temperatures. Like, I'm not an agronomist, I'm not a weather expert, but I have to think that they will want these greens playing very firm, very fast, and I'd be surprised if they put any water on them, or if they did, it would be very, very little, because I think this is what they want. They want this place to be really tough on the weekend.
Yeah, and someone was blaming the sub-air for drying out the greens, but it was just the conditions, right? The wind picking up and the sun baking it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a combination, look, of everything, right? And, I think the USGA was hesitant or reticent in the beginning to have this thing get out of hand right out of the gate on Thursday. I think they've figured out that, you know, the first day or so, let's back off a bit. And look, they've been fortunate with the weather. It hasn't gone out of hand. You go back to Shinnecock in 2018, and they completely bungled that in terms of how they handled the course preparation as the week went on, and they paid a price for it. They absolutely and rightfully got hammered. And, of course, the lasting image, as much as it is Brooks Koepka from that, winning the U.S. Open and becoming the first back-to-back champion of the event in 30 years and just the sixth guy to do it overall, I believe. You know, one of the lasting images from that event is Phil Mickelson hitting a putt that's still moving, and we all remember that. So, to me, they wanted to avoid those sorts of situations. Certainly, Pebble Beach was a place they weren't going to get that, regardless. Given a whole range of factors. Again, a lot of that having to do with green size, and then this year I think they were careful as well going into it, and now we're seeing them start to tighten it up a bit. And the hope is that they don't tweak it so much or employ tactics that will change it so dramatically that it just gets goofy. But it doesn't appear to be the case so far through today and into tomorrow.
Our defending champion, Gary Woodland, was playing with a torn labrum in his left hip and only missed the cut by one stroke. Would he have been able to go on and play the weekend?
That's a good question. I mean, it's funny because when he finished his round, it didn't sound like he had any plans to continue. Of course, at that point, he was well outside the cut line, but the cut line, of course, moved as the day went on and scores, higher scores came in. So he came close to actually making the cut. But I don't know what he ultimately would have done. I guess he probably would have played for the simple fact that he's played over the past 6 weeks, so
wow.
I don't see why this would be any different. I don't think he would have withdrawn. Maybe he would have, who knows, but certainly it appears it's something that's bothering him. He said he's going to see a specialist on Monday, so it'll be interesting to see how long he's out. Of course, the Masters is the next big golf event on the calendar in November, so he's got a little bit of time to get through that, but again, it sort of depends severity of the injury and I guess what the doctors find.
It's interesting, our two leaders, Patrick Reed, of course, the leader, one stroke back Bryson DeChambeau. A lot of people were laughing when he said, I'm going to take my driver and I'm going to hit as far as I can, because the fairways at Winged Foot are demanding. I didn't think Tiger Woods would do well at all in those conditions. Yeah, I was saying last week, how is he going to manage to get on the green, given how narrow and how demanding it is? Bryson DeChambeau saying he's just going to go for it. And it's interesting how he manages to get close enough and then he can go with irons that grab the greens rather than spin on the greens. They just stop and hold. Now, Patrick Reed, when he gets up, he was playing more aggressive but cautious, as I think he put it. When I can't get there, I'm laying up to the right spot. It would be nice to hit more fairways, but I'm not trying any miracle shots. And that's just taking a couple of phrases that he used after the round. What are your thoughts about the difference between these two guys?
Well, I think, first of all, we've seen that Bryson DeChambeau's strategy works. He is taking... look, distance has always been a huge advantage in the sport. You can go back to Jack Nicklaus and the way he played and the way he dominated courses, and the game was built largely, or at least started around his driver, Tiger Woods, the same thing. And now we see this with Bryson DeChambeau taking it to an extreme degree because of the technology afforded him, because of the rules afforded him, and the training and all the and everything else afforded him, and so forth. So his approach works. Look, he tied for fourth at PGA Championship. That was a tremendous confidence boost. I talked to him a couple of weeks after that, and look, that really emboldened his approach to this week even more. And we've seen it play out. Look, he's hitting, I think, half his fairways this week, but it doesn't matter because he's when he's finding a fairway, he's got a wedge in, and even when he doesn't, he's still in position where, you know, he doesn't get in too much trouble. He's not hitting it entirely all over the map. So he's hitting the driver relatively straight, and that's a, when you can hit the ball, 380 yards and have a wedge into the green, or you look at the par 5 ninth where he had eagle, he had a driver pitching wedge into the par 5. So the game is all of a sudden going to become a lot easier when you can do that. Patrick Reed, meanwhile, as you mentioned, certainly not the bomber. This is a guy who he's hit a lot of cut shots. He shortened his swing to try to keep the ball in play more, and it's worked out. And again, a guy who has, like Harry English, has got a tremendous short game. Really, really good. So not surprising, I suppose, from that perspective, to see, look, if he's going to put the ball in play off the tee and give himself good irons into the greens, and look, everybody's going to miss their share of greens, and Patrick has certainly done that this week. But when you have a short game that good, you know, this is the result.
Yeah, and people have been marveling over Patrick Reed's putting. Well, Bryson DeChambeau, I think at one point this season when it started, said he was impressed with someone's putting and he needs to work on it. How is his putting right now?
Yeah, it's certainly improved. I mean, again, these are, as much as Bryson is just bombing it all over the golf course, I asked him the other day, you know, what do you get the most confidence from in your game right now? You're driving, your iron play, or your putting? And he said his iron play. And a lot of that includes his wedges. So his wedges, admittedly, have been terrible of late. But that's in part due to the fact that he hasn't worked on them as much while, you know, adding all this bulk and distance and speed to the longer parts of his game. And now he's been able to work on that a lot more. We've seen him have a couple of lengthy range sessions in the past few weeks after rounds, where he's been essentially the last guy on the range at the end of the day, and they're more or less kicking him out at that point. So his wedge play has improved, and therefore his putting has improved, because look, it's a lot easier to make putts and avoid three putts when you're hitting it closer to the hole, and that's what he's been able to do this week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it's interesting watching him, because it's so new, this whole idea. There was David Duval, who in the 90s, he changed his physique and lost his game. And so it's been traditionally the problem. And I thought it was interesting when I heard a conversation that someone had about, you know, why are you doing this? Are you're making millions of dollars right now. Why are you going to change everything and risk the possibility that you lose your game? You're doing great. And Bryson DeChambeau's response was, according to the report, at the end of my career, I don't want to have a regret that I didn't try it. And okay, you know, give it a shot. But there's just so much risk. But he's being rewarded now, and that must feel really good.
It does. And look, there were times along the way, I had this conversation with him, there were times along the way in this process where he questioned or maybe even doubted whether this would work. But I think you have to look at a couple of things. He employs a number of people on his team, to make sure that he's doing the right thing training and going about it the right way. Also, with respect to David Duval is a guy who is a small guy by nature. He's a slight, mostly a slight person. Bryson, on the other hand, is, you know, look, before he put on all this weight, this is still a guy who had wide shoulders. He's got sort of broad hips. I mean, this is a guy who is, you know, has the bone structure to handle this. Uh-huh. You just look at him physically, it's just different than a guy like David Duval. So adding on all this weight and bulk, you know, and going about it that way, you know, seems to not be, you know, not be hampering him. Now, look, we're 1 year less than, you know, maybe less than a year into this at this point. And you do wonder, look, how can this hold up over time? We saw it, obviously, with Tiger Woods, as hard as he swung throughout his career, and we saw him endure a number of injuries. Mm-hmm. So you do have to wonder how Bryson's body will hold up over time if he continues to go at it this hard and continues to bulk up. And look, this is a guy who wants to hit the ball 400 yards on a regular basis off the tee. So, again, you just wonder the sustainability. You know, but again, this is somebody who is built a little bit different than some of the other guys who have bulked up in golf and sort of struggled with it.
Got it. I'm really glad you brought up the part of longevity. Can you do this over a long period of time without it eventually causing something, whether it is a shoulder or a hip or a knee? Mm. You know, we're watching it, and so many of our great golfers have injuries, which I don't think we experienced so much in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, where it started happening later. I think, you know, Tiger Woods, in large part, took everybody into the gym with him and taught every, you know, look at what you can do if you get a little stronger, if you bulk up your muscles. It's just a whole new ball game. And it's been great, Brian Wacker, talking with you, writer and editor for PGAtour.com, contributor for Golf Digest. Thanks so much for joining us in the clubhouse, and I hope you'll be back one day.
Well, thanks for having me.
Aloha. We're going to get into the place where this is all happening. It's all happening, of course, at Winged Foot, but there is a magnificent clubhouse. And Lily Braswell is director of operations at Winged Foot Golf Club. She knows that clubhouse, but she was also responsible for putting together the U.S. Open at Winged Foot. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Story of Hezekiah, Mike? Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord?
Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had rang your garage door, he could have kept his stuff. You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Maruyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water.
water cleanup,
fire damage repair,
mold remediation,
smoke damage,
asbestos abatement,
carpet and upholstery cleaning.
Call 528-3434.
We're also a licensed general contractor,
insurance company experts.
Need help now?
MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster.
Get MD cleaned now.
Call 528-3434.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
It's the U.S. Open at Wingfoot weekend, Saturday. Moving day was Friday. It's Saturday and Sunday, and it's going to be amazing. And you've seen the Winged Foot Clubhouse, designed by Clifford Wendehack, built after in 1923, I believe it was, during the Roaring Twenties. There was a lot to celebrate after World War I and the Spanish flu. The clubhouse was designed to look like it was rising up out of the ground. The Tudor Revival design becomes part of the course on the West Course from the 9th and the 18th holes. As architect Wendehack collaborated with golf course designer A.W. Tillinghast, they were very good friends. Lily Braswell is director of operations at Wingfoot Golf Club. For over 20 years, she's had a lot of experience in the hospitality industry, but she was hired by Wingfoot to manage clubhouse operations. Now, in her 10th season, her primary focus is golf outings and events, and of course, none more significant than the 2020 U.S. Open, the primary focus she's had for 2 years. Welcome in, Lily Braswell.
Thank you for having me, Danielle. Happy to be here.
It's great to talk with you. That clubhouse must have some pretty special meaning to you after taking care of it for so many years.
It is, as you said, it's the most magnificent clubhouse, I think, in golf. And yes, it is my home. It is my second home. And to be able to open it to 144 of the best players in the world is it's really something special. I don't think everybody gets the opportunity to do this. Not every open, the players have the opportunity to be in the clubhouse. Sometimes they get part of it. Sometimes they don't. They're not in at all. So it's all very exciting.
Yeah. I think the last time in 2006, Wingfoot hosted the U.S. Open and general manager Colin Burns took the lead. Mm-hmm. But there was no pandemic to deal with, no changing dates to deal with. From June, I think it was going to be August, and then finally settled upon September. What was it like putting this all together for you?
Well, needless to say, it was very stressful. The biggest issue that we had was we needed to find a date on the calendar, so somebody needed to cancel. And I think it was very important to everybody in the USGA and the golf world and everybody in the state of New York to bring something back to New York. I don't think everybody knows that Mamaroneck is just a few miles away from New Rochelle, which was the epicenter of coronavirus back in March. So it was very uncertain, you know, once we found the date and you know, everybody make this happen, work with the PGA Tour, with the USGA, with Wingfoot. We're like, we want to do it. And even when we were doing that and trying to put the plan together and pivot for, you know, this plan that we had for almost 2.5 years and change into something that is completely different, it's very rewarding to see it happen. And, you know, now on the third day where things are really moving along, it's something really special, and I think it's special to all New Yorkers and especially the people from Westchester County.
Yeah, you said you had fun yesterday. Tell us about it.
A lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Day one is always a little hectic, you know how it is, but once things are in place and things are moving, yesterday was great. We had some great wind here. We watched a few holes from the clubhouse. We saw the players come in and out with, you know, big smiles and feeling pretty good about themselves. So it was very exciting.
Yeah, I bet.
Today we have a gorgeous day. The sun is shining. We had a fairly cold night, so we're going to see how that translates on the scores for day three.
Yeah, it was cold last night, huh?
Yeah, very. It's the low 40s last night.
Wow. I bet Tiger Woods is glad he didn't have to get up at 4 a.m. and get warmed up, although he's very disappointed in himself for not being able to be there for the weekend. But let's go back to your key position. in putting this together. You were the person, you were the lead person, a woman, the lead person in what is predominantly kind of a male-dominated culture, and you were organizing everything. And what was it like?
You know, I have to say that there was not one moment that I felt I was treated differently, that any treated differently, for example, than Colin Burns, who's still here and still oversaw the entire event. But he let me run the event. He let me make the decisions. And, you know, we hired this wonderful executive assistant, and she's been handling all U.S. Open matters with me, Tanya Weiss. So, you know, I feel like they were almost like the women behind the championship. And it's been very rewarding. I think that the USGA trusts us. You know, this is obviously Colin's not first rodeo, and he was very confident that we were able to make the right decisions and work together to make sure that this championship actually happened.
Well, it's fabulous. It doesn't look like you had any difficulties. It looks like it's coming off with no hitches at all. On television, a winged foot just looks spectacular. I've seen some drone coverage that was really good, well done by Golf Digest, and Ron Witten was their architectural editor, was narrating. It's absolutely spectacular. That golf course is amazing. What did the membership, did you get to chat with any of the members, or are they out there actually helping bring it all together, volunteering?
Yeah, this is an interesting part of trying to get this plan together, was that no matter how, you know, if you have a championship with no fans, you still need your volunteers. You still need, you know, close to 400 people to assist with marshalling and crossing roads and all of that. So part of the plan that was presented to our governor was, you know, how are you going to handle the volunteer part? And I think that was an easier response for us, was that we'll have our members do it. They're local. They're not traveling, which was you're trying to avoid that during COVID.
Right.
And it's a very, very manageable. So we have around 430 volunteers that are here working. They're here at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they're working 6, 7, 8 hour shifts, and they're loving every minute of it. They're exhausted at the end of the day, but there is not one person that leaves this property without a smile on their faces. They are thrilled to be able to be close to the action and be able to be part of golf history.
That's great. And these are members at Winged Foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's spectacular that they're stepping up. So the clubhouse, how have you kept that a bubble, the PGA Tour wanting the bubble to stay in place?
Of course, everybody had to go through COVID testing. We were extremely diligent, and we have repeated this message nonstop for the last 3 weeks with our staff. You know, if you want to be part of the U.S. Open, don't go out, don't go to restaurants, stay home, don't socialize. You never know when you know that there's going to be another outbreak around here. So I think in general, our staff has been very careful. The same with you know, the PGA Tour, they're constantly testing, and the same with the USGA staff. So it's been, the clubhouse is isolated. It's only for players only, no coaches, no caddies, no spouses, no players only, and essential staff. So this, and we have security at every door like they do at every major championship, and nobody comes in the clubhouse. It's we're taking the COVID situation very, very seriously. Everybody wears a mask, you know, 6 feet of separation while dining, you know, tables of one or two. So we're taking care of our players, and, you know, we hope that we don't go back to what March or April was here in New York ever again.
Ever again. No. And we hope no one ever experiences that. We watched in horror and feeling helpless to do anything to help you. It was a terrible situation. Going back to the more fun things, what's it like having Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas drop in to do a practice round a couple weeks before the tournament?
It was pretty cool. I cannot lie. I was probably one of three people that knew that they were coming. And I had to keep it secret. I didn't even tell my husband, just in case, that he was coming. And it was interesting. We were here early in the morning. We had some security that you know, walked with them. But the funny part was that one of our staff members was here setting up the range, and he looked at me and I was like, yeah, I know who's coming. And I said, well, how do you know who's coming? Mm-hmm. I haven't told a soul.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, you know, I follow a guy on Twitter that follows Tiger's tail, and he just landed at Westchester Airport. So my guess is that he's coming to Wingfoot. I'm like, well, I guess the cat's out of the bag.
Yes, I can't do anything about that, right?
Oh, yeah, my goodness. Yeah, no, but they were extremely gracious. Justin had been here the day before, and he played around with two of our assistant professionals. So extremely gracious, and it was great having them here and great to be able to see them play golf so close.
Yeah, I bet. Now, Chef Rye Waddington at Wingfoot. Mm-hmm. I bet he's putting together lots of goodies for the players. Are they eating in the clubhouse?
They are, yes. They're here. They were here at 5:30 in the morning. No, 6 o'clock in the morning today. Yesterday was 5:30. And they're having breakfast, lunch, and we have these like great to-go packages for them to take with them. And they're really taking advantage of the dining. We have a great food and beverage program, so I think they're really enjoying them. We're treating a few of them to some local, you know, specialties. Like we have Sal's Pizza right here on Mamaroneck Avenue, so a few of our players are going to be enjoying Sal's Pizza after their round today. We're trying to keep it fun and light and let them enjoy the magnificent clubhouse. We did a very thorough restoration of the interior 2 years ago, and it looks like a Clifford Wendehack had designed it back in the 20s.
Wow.
And he had said, I read this somewhere, where he had said that his intention is when you stand in the clubhouse and you look to your left and then you turn right, you continue this pattern of colors of nature, greens, beiges, browns. And that's the direction that our decorator took for the restoration. And we could have not, we're so pleased with the way it came out. Our most senior member, who was here 2 days ago witnessing his fifth U.S. Open at Wingfoot, when he walked in after the restoration was over, he said to me, Lil, this looks like when I was a kid. This clubhouse was exactly the same when I was a kid. It had that feeling of like being open and being part of nature. So we're very pleased with the results.
What an amazing
compliment.
And
I hope the players are enjoying it.
Yes, I'm sure they are. It's been a real pleasure meeting you, Lily Braswell, Director of Operations, Wingfoot Golf Club, and responsible for putting together the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. It looks brilliant, fantastic. I am so, just one quick question. How do you become a member at Wingfoot?
Oh, you have to know somebody that is a member at Wingfoot.
You have to know somebody who knows somebody.
Yeah, you got to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, and you have to be a really, really good golfer.
It's all about golf. Thank you.
That's a must.
Yes. Yeah. Lily, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
And enjoy the championship.
We are. Aloha. We're going to come back. We've got Bob Bupka on the show after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Are you ready for a staycation? Napili Kai Beach Resort and Kapalua Golf offering a spectacular golf package with fully furnished rooms, beautiful views from their spacious lanai. It's a two-night, three-day stay for two, starts at $525. Includes one round of golf for two at one of the spectacular Kapalua courses. upgraded rooms, additional golf available at great discounts. Come enjoy the crystal clear waters of Napili Bay. Dine at the award-winning Sea House restaurant. Call 800-367-5030. 367-5030 to book your stay. Napili Kai Beach Resort and Kapalua Golf Getaway.
Outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back into the clubhouse. Bob Bubka is joining us now, voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK and host in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Welcome in, Bob.
Well, welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm kind of excited because I want to be the first to sign up to caddy for you when you play Wingfoot. I heard your last interview, and you did some good PR work there, so there's no doubt you're going to get a tee time. Go ahead, Danielle. I can't cut you off. You're playing Wingfoot.
I'm looking forward to just getting off the rock at some point in, you know, travel? When? You know, where? It's all like we're just going to stay where we are and enjoy what we've got, right, at the point. But it's always kind of fun. I wanted to know, you just finished a U.S. Open segment on Talk Sport in the U.K. Like 3 million people listening to Bob Bubka talk about the U.S. Open in the U.K. During the breaks and the football coverage on Talk Sport. So what are they talking about in the UK about this U.S. Open?
Well, they're really marveling at Wingfoot. An interesting thing about Wingfoot, and listen to this carefully, and you have a lot of good players that love your show on a weekly basis. The standing situation at Wingfoot, if you come there to play as a guest of one of the members and you are a legitimate 10 handicap, which, you know, 10 handicap, you're a pretty darn good golfer.
Yeah.
They'll give you a bet for any amount of money. You're not going to break 100 at Wingfoot if you're a 10 handicapper. That's how tough it is. So bring your sticks when you go to play, my dear. Bring your sticks.
Yeah. But I how much did... You know, which golfers are they? You know, which golfers are they rooting for in the UK?
Yeah. Oh, obviously they were rooting hard for Lee Westwood. Now, Rory McIlroy probably has most of the attention.
Yeah.
You know, but they're real golf fans in the UK. So you know, all they like to do is see it close and exciting. Same for you and I when we do the Tournament of Champions. We do that show on Saturday morning that I'm honored to be on with you. What do we talk about? We hope that it's going to be a close finish. And I was just thinking of a comment you just made. You're dying to get off the rock. I'm dying to get onto the rock. So it's all one's perspective.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Wingfoot is really close to your home because you grew up in Long Island. So it's all kind of it's different, but it's you're familiar with the whole area. And we're getting.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say there's lots of great golf courses right around Wingfoot. I mean, you don't have to play just that. There's Century Club, there's Wagagill, there's all kinds of high-level golf courses where they could easily host the U.S. Open. But this is the granddaddy. Most experts, if you name the three toughest golf courses in the world, all right, Wingfoot is on there. Oakmont is on there, as you know, just outside of Pittsburgh. And Carnoustie in Scotland is the third one. Those are the three toughest. A little interesting thing about Mr. Tillinghast that I found out in my research this week in preparation for this event. Tillinghast used to love to go to the ballet. He used to love to go to the opera. But he also used to love to disappear 4 or 5 days on a drunken binge. Nobody would know where he was. And he was also very well known for making a wager on almost anything. So he was always very careful where he went because he didn't want to bump into somebody that he owed money to. Okay. And yet he was one of the world's greatest golf course architects. So that's the rest of the story. Only hear that with Danielle Tucker.
Oh, and Bob Bupka. Now, speaking of all that, the last time the U.S. Open was played at Wingfoot was back in 2006. Tiger Woods had just lost his father, his mentor, his cheerleader coach. I mean, 6 weeks before. And Phil Mickelson lost the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, called himself an idiot, after blowing his lead on the final hole. He had a double bogey when all he needed was a par to win. Now, what about the guy who put a $45,000 wager on the 75-1 shot that Mickelson was going to win this U.S. Open at Wingfoot?
Yeah, he was last seen swimming towards Hawaii and hoping that he doesn't make it. That's the report I got. I mean, you know, this is only the second time, Danielle, in the last 25 years that we did not have either a Phil Mickelson or a Tiger Woods, most times both, playing on a weekend at a U.S. Open, both missing the cut badly. Phil Mickelson, we could have may very well have seen his last shot in the U.S. Open, although he may play next year because it's at San Diego at Torrey Pines, basically in his backyard. So he may extend it, but there's a pretty good chance that he won't be playing in the U.S. Open. Tiger certainly, for the first time, really looked 44 years old.
Yes,
and he's looking at these young guys. He just can't compete. Take that ninth hole, Bryson DeChambeau, and I think your listeners, if they're driving or they're sitting at home, they're going to say, "Oh, he's making that up." But Bryson DeChambeau played the ninth hole. He hit a driver 380 yards. And then he hit a 9-iron, 180 yards, and he made about a 6-foot putt for an eagle. But driving at 380, 9-iron, 180, that's a game nobody's familiar with.
That's correct. Absolutely. And I was talking to Brian Wacker earlier in the show. It's amazing what he's doing, that he's pulling it off, and just watching it, the transformation. We're just going to have to see, you know, Tiger's body took a beating in the process of the hard hitting that he did, the working out in, you know, maybe to excess in the weight room, as some people said. So it's a risk you take, but it's a reward that he obviously wanted. He said that he didn't want to end his career without having, you know, gone for it. This was regretting that he hadn't done something, and you can't live with regrets. I've got to ask you about this one, though. This is great. We're going back to Wingfoot because this is funny. There's a member who bought a house. It's a little tiny house that has a beautiful view of Wingfoot's clubhouse. I think his name is Paul Callahan, and that's Ben Hogan. Made this house famous because he said once, "I think I just put my 3-iron into someone's bedroom." Do you know that little house I'm talking about?
It's a little yellow house.
Yeah.
It's well documented. You know who just bought a house? Rick Pitino, the famous coach from the University of Kentucky. He's now been hired to coach Iona, which is only a few miles from Wingfoot. I was looking at a house and said to the real estate guy, I'll take it, but there's only one stipulation. I have to be in there before the U.S. Open starts. They made the deal happen. In his backyard, Rick Pitino has set up bleachers, and he has about 20, 25 of his friends over. They're sitting there, they're just a few feet from Wingfoot, and they're watching it like, you know, they're on the golf course. So there's more stories surrounding Wingfoot than you could ever shake a stick at. You know, it was built by 220 men and 16 teams of horses, and it took a little over 2 years to accomplish. This was way back in 1921. And real quick, in case we're running out of time, I heard you talking about inside the clubhouse,
yes,
Danielle.
Yes,
there's a photograph in there that I say is probably the greatest sports photograph that I have ever seen, and maybe that exists in the world. It's Bobby Jones teeing off on Sunday in 1929 when he wins the U.S. Open at Wingfoot as an amateur. He's teeing off on Sunday. You see a gallery right behind the first tee, but then if you look close, you see somebody kneeling down with a cigar hanging out of their mouth, and it's none other than Babe Ruth. So you're looking at Bobby Jones, one of the greatest names you'll ever hear in golf, Babe Ruth, one of the greatest names you'll ever hear in baseball, in the same picture. It is unbelievable to see.
You just gave me goosebumps, or chicken skin, as we call it in Hawaii. I really appreciate your time. Bob Bupka, voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK, host in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Thanks for being on the show, Bobby.
And have fun when you play at Wingfoot.
You'll be with me, because you know New York. Yeah. And we'll cruise.
Stuff me in your bag.
Yeah, we'll cruise Long Island. Aloha, Bob.
Take care.
You too. Bye. Stay safe. We're going to come back. We've got Michael Patrick Shields hanging out at Whistling Straits after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Are you ready for a staycation? Napili Kai Beach Resort and Kapalua Golf offering a spectacular golf package with fully furnished rooms, beautiful views from their spacious lanai. It's a two-night, three-day stay for two. Starts at $525. Includes one round of golf for two at one of the spectacular Kapalua courses. Upgraded rooms, additional golf available at great discounts. Come enjoy the crystal clear waters of Napili Bay. Dine at the award-winning Sea House restaurant. Call 800-367-5030. 367-5030 to book your stay. Napili Kai Beach Resort and Kapalua Golf Getaway.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
Do you remember the story of Hezekiah, Mike?
Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord?
Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that, too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer, too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had rang your garage door, he could have kept his stuff. You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Ah, here's the local rules sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire for the golf club. He's a travel writer and he's a award-winning host. Michigan's Big Show. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
Aloha, Danielle, from Destination Kohler in what would have been the next big event this fall, but we'll have to wait a year for the Ryder Cup.
Yes. So we won't be playing the Ryder Cup until next year, but it'll still be at Whistling Straits. Right?
It'll still be here on the shores of Lake Michigan. And unfortunately, you know, while some of the majors were retained, like the Masters, even though it will be played in the autumn, and the U.S. Open that we're watching this week, they
you know,
having the Ryder Cup. But ultimately, the reason that the officials will give you at Destination Kohler is that, and the PGA of America for that matter, that the Ryder Cup, it just isn't the Ryder Cup without the fans and the flags and the singing and the spirit.
Yeah.
And so they decided it would be better to wait a year. And, you know, I pondered with the folks here as I made my way around the Straits course and around the Black Wolf Run courses. You know, they've had the PGA Championship a number of times, the U.S. Women's Open. And I said, well, from your standpoint, even though it's disappointing, at least you get another year of people talking about Whistling Straits. And in terms of publicity, I think that's actually probably a positive for the resort.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think the fans are absolutely necessary. I can't wait to see. There's two 36-hole links-style golf courses associated with the American Club near Sheboygan, Wisconsin, where Whistling Straits is. Whistling Straits, I love saying Sheboygan, is north of Sheboygan in Haven in the town of Mosel. And it's in Sheboygan County. We all think of it as what you said, Destination Kohler. I found, Michael Patrick, a photo of sheep grazing on what looks like Whistling Straits or a golf course. Do sheep?
Yeah.
Yes?
That is the what they call the Irish course, which is right next to the Straits course. So the Straits course is where the PGA Championships were held and where the Ryder Cup will be staged. But if you go to, they're both serviced out of the same clubhouse, which is meant to look like an old, I guess, Irish clubhouse or possibly Scottish clubhouse. Although I had a Guinness next to a fire after the round in there, and that made me feel right at home for the first time in a long time, that's for sure. But the to worry too much about the name of the town where it's in, the easiest thing to do is basically say the town of Kohler.
Okay.
Which is founded by the people who founded the Kohler Plumbing Company, Austrians who came, and they literally built a village similar to Pinehurst, I guess. But this was a corporate village that was built so that people who worked in the plumbing factory would have a place to live and be able to earn a living and you know, thrive. And so when you go there, you are, it's like going to the Willy Wonka chocolate factory. There's a big, like, ornate Kohler factory and a neighborhood built all around it. And at some point, Herb Kohler decided we need some more amenities for people. So how about golf? And that's when they created the Black Wolf Run courses and then eventually collaborated once again with Pete Dye on all four of these courses, the River, the Meadows, and then the Straits and the Irish, to build them. And not only did the people who worked and lived there come, the world came, as you know, in the names of some of the greatest players of our era to come and play and win.
Yeah. Right now, I when I was looking it up, it's open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Is it really still light out at 9 p.m.?
Well, Kohler is on the eastern edge of the central time zone at Lake Michigan, you know, on the shore there. And those courses are, particularly the Straits course, if you look at some of the dramatic holes, we all know, come to see them, they're perched literally right over. If you fell off, you would fall into Lake Michigan. Shipwreck is the famous one, and there's a reason why it's called that, of course. But yeah, you can have a great time. And one of the things that you may want to think about, too, in terms of, you are at the place called Kohler, and the American Club was a dorm for the initial workers, and now it's five-star luxury. But they have other hotels you can also stay in, like the Inn at Woodlake. They have a beautiful workout facility there and peaceful place to stay away from the golf courses. But you could imagine what the Kohler Waters Spa is like, given that Kohler is, you know, the plumbing giant. Their spa is fantastic, and they have all sorts of water treatments that you probably wouldn't imagine. Like, you're in a big tub, and there's pulsing lights and pulsing sounds and water, and they have one other treatment where you're laying flat, and this water is coming down from these purpose-made robotic jets. And they sort of blast all over you. So you can get creative, and you can, you know, I don't know if you should have the treatment before or after your round of golf, either to relax before the round or to treat yourself after a pretty punishing and difficult golf course in the Straits course.
Yeah, I would just like it for walking it, or walking, riding, you know, just enjoying and doing whatever I could to get to the end with the ball. The same one,
well,
hopefully.
You're walking only on the straights, but they do have a caddy program.
There you go.
And everybody wants to see the spot where Dustin Johnson made the mistake of grounding his club and what he thought was land, but it was actually a bunker. They will point that out to you, although they'd rather not. But they will, because everybody wants to see that spot. And of course, one of the most famous incidents in the history of the Straits course.
Absolutely. Where are the best restaurants? Which one do you recommend?
Well, there's a place called The Immigrant, and that's in the American Club if you want to fine dining. The Horse and Plow is the one everybody talks about. And if you were to go in there like I did as many times as I possibly could, it's in the American Club, which is one of the hotel properties that they have. And you want to have the beer cheese soup. Because after all, you're in Wisconsin.
Right.
And you'd be crazy not to have the beer cheese soup, because that's two of their best products. And the other thing is, I could never resist. I was going around and I was walking, Danielle. I was getting my steps in. I was not in a cart. And I got to the ninth at the river course, and there was a little shack, nice little shack. And the lady behind the counter says, "Would you like a brat?"
Oh.
And I said, "What?" She said, "A bratwurst. You're walking. You should have a brat, because you're walking and it won't count." Boy, that is a perfect ambassador there for the place, and a perfect ambassador for Wisconsin. Very well known for their bratwurst. And, you know, to think that 60 miles away is Green Bay, where the Packers wouldn't have a football game if it weren't for the tailgating and the bratwurst. And so, yeah, you know, I couldn't resist, and I went for it.
Yes, of course you did. I like the beer cheese soup because it's vegetarian.
Yeah. Oh, okay. See, something for everybody.
So I was looking around going, besides playing golf, I found some attractions nearby, including the Bookworm Gardens. Bookworm, like a bookworm? Bookworm Gardens. The Kohler Design Center with that marvelous bathtub that has feet. I love those bathtubs. I used to have one. Then there's the Blind Horse Winery. And then there's the John Michael Kohler Art Center. And you could also take a private Segway tour in some of these places. It's a marvelous destination.
The design center is really cool because, you know, like when you think about the Ford Motor Company or the Big Three, they're not going to let you in the design center because it's top secret. But Kohler has designed a facility where you can go in and see the latest and greatest in what they are developing and what they offer in terms of bathrooms and kitchens. And so you can go in there and you can see all the offerings in one spot and design yourself a you know, Hawaiian rain shower if you want to.
Wow.
That the water will come down from above and you'll hear the sounds of thunder and you'll have an aroma, say, of whatever the local flora and fauna is. And they'll actually, you can set the temperature automatically so that it knows when you step in the shower and you say, it's Danielle, the right temperature will come and all the things that you like to have. So they're working on this biometric business when it goes in with plumbing. And dare I say, since it's a morning program, they also have some pretty high-tech toilets that will do similar things for you as long as you set them how you like.
Yes.
It's a touchless procedure, if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not a problem because, you know, we have lots of those special toilets in many of our favorite hotels here. It heats up the seat. I don't know that you need a heated seat here, but it'll heat up the seat for you and all that good stuff. I just love this. This is great. Thank you. Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire. See, he tells us where we're going to go next. Travel writer, you can find him at traveltattler.com. He's host of Michigan's big show, Michigan Association of Broadcasters, Best Network Radio Personality of the Year, several times. And I call him Mr. President, Stories of Golf, Fishing, and Life with my friend George H.W. Bush. That's his most recent book. Thank you for being on the show, Michael Patrick.
Thank you. And when next we speak, I'll be in person with Jack Nicklaus in about a week and a half at brand new, his last redesign called American Dunes in Michigan and Grand Haven. And I get a chance to spend some time with the bear, and I'll tell you what he says. Do you have anything you want me to ask him?
Oh, my goodness. Gosh, no.
I put you on the spot. If you think of it, just let me know.
I will. I'll send you a text. I'll send you an email. I'll flag you down.
Mahalo and aloha from Destination Kohler and the Whistling Straits.
Awesome. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. And by the way, we've got a couple of gift certificates for Bayview Golf Course. And everybody shut down, but when they open, you must go to Bayview. And you must go and check out the 9th and the 10th holes, because now they have bunkers, okay? They're adding bunkers. You know, we have grass bunkers all this time, but now they're putting in some sand because they're bringing Bayview back to what it was, okay? And they're doing it so well with the superintendent of golf there. And, of course, Eric is doing all this great work. And they've got this fabulous place where you can play on the range. And you can just play just about any course you want with Top Tracer. Maybe not any, but you can play a lot of different courses with Top Tracer. So you go and check out those two bunkers, because you're going to win one of those gift certificates if you can answer the question that I ask about those bunkers, okay? Or those holes, all right? Yes, very cryptic. Thank you very much. We're going to come back with Bob Herrig in a couple of minutes or seconds.
Do you remember the story of Hezekiah, Mike?
Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord?
Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer, too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had rang your garage door, he could have kept his stuff. You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
This is the U.S. Open at Winged Foot, and ESPN's Bob Herrig is joining us in the clubhouse. Welcome in, Bob.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. How are you?
Excellent. I haven't had a chance to look at the leaderboard much, but before we get into what's happening on the golf course, I wanted to ask you, this isn't the first time these guys have missed the cut. I'm talking about Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. But I don't think it's ever happened that they've both missed the cut in the same major championship. For the second time, I think it was last year's Open at Port Rush, they are having a really hard time doing anything on the golf course.
You're right. It's the first time that they've both missed the cut in the same U.S. Open, and when they both missed the cut at Port Rush last year, it was the first time they had ever done that in the same major as pros. Like, I think it was like there had been like 83 times they both played in a major, and at least one of them made the cut. And now, you know, for the second time, they've both missed a cut. And, you know, in this case, it's pretty easy. They don't hit enough fairways. You know, I mean, Phil was atrocious off the tee. I think he hit six fairways in 2 days. You know, the first day he only hit two and he shot 79. You can't play a U.S. Open course like this from the rough. Certainly not that often. And Tiger, a little bit the same. He had trouble hitting fairways. He also seemed to struggle with some iron shots, you know, like things that are usually in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it sort of brings up an interesting point is that, you know, these two guys are, you know, what, they've won 120-some tournaments. They've combined for 20 majors. And yet for the bulk of their careers, both guys have never been great about getting it in the fairway off the tee. Tiger was pretty good in his early years. Like, he might have approached 70% like when he was in his early 20s, maybe for a year or two, and then it drifted down from there. And, I mean, really anything over 60% for these guys, especially a long hitter, is good. But they haven't even been close to that. I mean, they barely hit half their fairways. And it's amazing to think that guys this good could have that much trouble at that part of the game. Like, you just think you'd figure out a way, I got to get it in the fairway. And, you know, they've just it's for as good as they are to have been that poor driving ball. I'm not talking distance, I'm talking accuracy, is really kind of surprising.
Yeah, I was looking at, well, Phil Mickelson blew my mind because he couldn't seem to decide on what driver to use. I don't understand. This man has just won a tournament. Yes, it was on the PGA Tour Champions, but he was driving brilliantly. Oh, and then all of a sudden he's tinkering with drivers before the tournament it's one thing before the tournament started, but it seemed like he was still tinkering on Thursday and Friday. Or is that my imagination?
No, you're right. I mean, he was on the driving range Thursday, hours before. He had like an arsenal of stuff out there. It looked like he had about 18 or 19 clubs, a couple of different drivers, a track man, his coach was there. They're plotting and doing all this stuff. And what does he do? The very first tee shot was wide left by about 30 yards.
Yeah.
And then he made birdie anyway. And the same with the second hole. And you think, okay, well, maybe he can weather this. But obviously he wasn't able to. And he only ended up making, I believe, three birdies for the entire tournament. And that speaks to not being able to get the ball near the pin for your second shot or your third shot. You're not going to do it from the rough there, not very often. If you do, it's fortunate. And, you mentioned, the Champions Tour a couple of weeks ago. That was the whole idea of that was for him to get some confidence. And he did, he thought. And then all of a sudden, he played at the Safeway last week, and maybe in retrospect that wasn't a good idea because he wasn't hitting fairways there either.
Mm-hmm.
This has just been an issue throughout Phil's career. And when he's able to drive it in play, close to 60% of the time, he's lethal because he's a great iron player, obviously good short game. But you're going to have a hard time with the short game on that course. It negates some of the skill because you're hitting from that rough. And it's unfortunate. Both these guys, I think we'd love to see him around.
Yes. And that's the question. It seems everybody, turn the TV on, and they're talking about, is this the last tournament that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson can play in, U.S. Open? I'm like, wait a second. I've seen Tiger play pretty badly. We all have. I was really shocked, though, when I think it was on 9, when he was trying to get up onto the ledge, and then he got up onto the green, close to the, but then it rolled back down, and then he, it's like he just destroyed that hole. We've seen
two days in a row. Yeah, 2 days in a row, actually. It was on the 18th, and he made double bogey there both days.
Yeah.
And both times he drove it in the rough. Both times he wasn't able to get to the green. Both times he had this kind of awkward pitch that's from in front of a very, very severe slope. And if you watch the highlights of 2006, Jeff Ogilvie kind of had that shot. And he played it to like 6 feet, which was incredible. And he made the putt. And obviously that helped him win. But Tiger seemed to try the swap shot both times. And it didn't even come close. The ball came right back to him. And it seemed like it was a hero shot. You probably needed to take your medicine there, get it up on the green, have a lengthy putt for par and take your bogey. And both days he did the same thing. It's just a little bit off-putting to see, how he played. And really in the whole comeback, since the restart. It just, I'm sitting here wondering, where's the guy who was so good last October, November, December?
Yeah.
And even into January, he played pretty well at Torrey Pines. And then something went amiss with his back and the stiffness, and then he missed some tournaments. Obviously, we had the shutdown. He pronounced himself fine when he came back, but yet his game hasn't been fine. And he just kind of makes you wonder what's going on.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And then, he says, I'm going to take some time off now. But he's got a title defense at Sherwood for the Zozo, and then they've got the Masters coming up in November. Can he take time off?
Well, he can maybe take a little bit of time off here. he's got an outing on Tuesday, I know, like a thing at a golf course he's designing. I mean, if he wants to take, 10 days off after that, fine. But, you've got to put in the work if you're going to be competitive. And, I was sort of running through the tournaments last night, and obviously it's a completely different situation now with the Masters. But last year before the Masters, he played four tournaments in the 8 weeks leading up to it. He played 2 weeks before. He had played back-to-back events, prior to that. Or actually, he had played two weeks before, and then he had played 2 weeks before that. And before that, he had played back-to-back events going back 8 weeks out. Well, so we're kind of 8 weeks out from the Masters now. Maybe if you were to count this one, you're only talking two tournaments in 8 weeks leading up. And I just don't think that's enough. I mean, like, one of the things these guys all do is they kind of try to ramp it up going into the Masters. Again, it's a different year. They work their way from the West. They play some of the Florida events leading up to the Masters. And everybody is usually, from the start of the year to the Masters, played five, six, seven times. Tiger's sort of in that 4 to 6 range. Well, we're sort of in a similar time frame right now, leading up to the Masters. Not quite as long. But to think that you'd only play twice leading, he'd play four times maybe in 3 months leading up to the Masters, it's not, and not having good results.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a great recipe, and obviously the course is going to play different. You'd think you'd want to get up there, play a couple practice rounds in a week or two prior to see what it's like. It's going to be, it's just going to be different in November. It's going to be one of the fascinating aspects of it. So, but, we just don't know. I mean, is he just limited physically? Can he not do it? He's not forthcoming about these things. And so it's left to us to just sort of, guess. And if all things are okay, you sit there and say he needs to play more.
Yeah, and that's it. Because when I saw him come out of the bunker, that stance that he had to take with one leg in and one leg cocked out and hanging on to the side of the bunker, and he hit it, and it came out. I mean, it wasn't a beautiful shot, but the physicality of it showed me, at least, that if you can do that, your back is able to do a lot more. And I think it is him getting into it. And the last time we heard him talking about, well, my game wasn't, I've got kids now, I think there's a lot more pulling him away from golf than there is pulling him to the game.
That's a good point, and I think it's important to, I think you always have to leave that disclaimer. 44 years old, he's got a pretty big company that, that he's, he's got his company, Tiger Woods Corporation, or ETW, he employs, 8 or 10 people. There's design work, there's the things that he does for that. Then he's got a foundation. It's a very, very huge and successful foundation. So there's time and energy and, brain power that needs to go into that. Then he's got kids, and you're talking about a divorce situation. So there's, who has the kids when.
Yes.
So, like, all these things factor in. He's middle-aged now as opposed to when he was in his 20s and could focus solely on golf. The other side of that is look, everybody has things in their life they have to deal with to do their jobs.
Yes.
And we all do. And so that's part of it. Now, of course, he's got the means and the wherewithal to say, hey, I don't need to worry about this so much. That's fine. But I mean, like, if you're gonna say that you wanna be there to win and that you're competitive and you wanna be competitive in the majors, well then, you've gotta find the time to put in the work. And again, we don't quite know how much he can do physically. I have my theories on that. He's hitting the ball fine off the tee. He blasted several drives out there, 320. His iron play, for the most part, has not been up to his standards, but it's still good. Where he struggles is the shorter shots. And those are the shots that require you to bend over a little bit more, and that's when he puts strain on the lower back.
Mm-hmm.
And he just probably doesn't practice it as much as he needs to. The repetition isn't there. He's not going to hit 500 gap wedges or pitching wedge shots to hone that in because it's going to get sore. And the same with the putting and chipping. You know, he probably just does a fraction of the practicing that he used to do. Well, it shows up at a place like Wingfoot. Probably it's shown up everywhere.
Yes.
He's just not been as sharp. And, you know, so obviously I have a sense that he's going to really, really want to be good at the Masters. And of course, he always does. But I think he really, really wants to have a good defense. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he's just been sort of, you know, he probably knows Wingfoot's not a golf course for me at this stage of my career. In the back of his mind, I'm putting my efforts into Augusta. I mean, I sort of hope that's what we're looking at here. And then after that, he can kind of chill out again for the rest of the year and then ramp back up again starting back in January.
Sounds good. And I want him to have his eyes checked. You know, it's been a long time since he had that LASIK done. I'm yeah. sure our eyes change in the 40s. You know, he needs a little tune-up so that distance and all that stuff that happens when you look down to putt and you're trying to gauge things, it's not fuzzy anymore. I think that's a good idea. Bob Herrig, senior yep. golf writer for ESPN, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Aloha. He's always wonderful to talk to. He's got so much good insight. All right. I want to thank the people who make this show possible. And these are the great people. Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe. I mean, it's gorgeous. You go across the Ko'olau, you drive down the Like Like, you go through the Kamehameha intersection, a little past, you know, the KFC and McDonald's, and you keep going down. And then you look on your left and you see the truck that's had chicken, and it's really good chicken on the side of the road. You can get that from the food truck. I think they're still doing that. And then you drive in, and there's Bayview. And it's just so pretty. It's so pretty, and it's so friendly and welcoming. And not only the front nine, it's a great walking course, although I do have to warn you when you go on the back nine, which has an absolutely exquisite. When I went back there the first time, I went, wow, this is beautiful. That's Kaneohe Bay. It's a spectacular bay. So I better get back to the part about the game, right? So there's carts, of course, they're cleaning. There's also the double-deck driving range with the top tracer at each station, but only 50% of the people would normally be there are there because of the social distancing. They're doing everything they can do to make it fun still for you and safe, and that's Bayview. But for now, of course, we are not golfing because we're still shut down. Rainer Overhead Doors, you know they're hiring an installation professional, and they train. Just have to have some mechanical ability. The number is 676-3667. And what the kids are talking about, the latest in garage door design is at HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com. Turn your carport into an enclosed garage, 676-3667. Aloha Power Equipment. Their moving sale is all September long, or when the store is completely empty, of course. Shindaiwa and Maruyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Aloha Power Equipment has what you need, both at their Waipahu and their Sand Island stores. Everything. Everything you need to weed it, whack it, mow it, and blow it. That's Aloha Power Equipment, your Honda superstore. And are you ready for a staycation? I was talking about getting off the rock. How about you just bounce over to a different rock? That'll do it, right? A staycation at Napili Kai Beach Resort. If you're on Maui, perfect. You just drive over. And this is Napili Kai Beach Resort and Kapalua offering a spectacular golf package. I mean, this is about the same amount as you'd pay for just the golf. But you get 2 nights and 3 days for two, starting at $525. Includes 1 round for two at one of the spectacular Kapalua golf courses. And it's only $525. So, you know, that's an awesome opportunity. Just in case you're wondering, you don't have to worry about having Peacock TV to see the end of the U.S. Open. That they've switched it around. So the beginning this morning was the U.S. Open. If you'd like to play a round of golf today, it was 58 degrees at Volcano. Wouldn't that be nice? It's going to be breezy today. So be ready for your wind game, about 10 to 25 miles per hour. Makalei has a 920. Poipu Bay has an 1110. There was an 8:48 at Kahili. Sorry, I missed telling you, but there is a 10 o'clock or a 10:10. Wailea, 11-1, wide open. 10-12 on the Emerald Course, wide open. And Maui Nui has a tee time at 12:04, and after that, they're wide open. You want to make your tee time as late as possible. It's going to be hot again today, but at least we have the winds to cool us off. You can always listen to the show if you missed portions of it or if you wanted to hear it again at radiogolfclub.com. That's radiogolfclub.com. You go to the listen button and it'll show you the podcast. And that's also where it streams from. I want to thank you for your mana and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.